The following Dharma talk was given at Common Ground Meditation Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Hello. One of my stresses have been feeling like I'm being plucked and pushed and shoved, but not. And when he asked us to lay down, I kept feeling like I was going to sleep, but I wasn't, because I kept feeling like everyone had gotten up and was walking around me. And then when I would wake up, I'd be like, that's not happening. And it scared me a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then it calmed down.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe that's just my brain. Part of the anxiety is my brain needs to, like, have those moments. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think for many people right now, it's a really tough time. Lots of people are feeling scared and anxious. And the way that anxiety releases in different people is going to look different. But it sounds like you work with it beautifully, letting it be there and noticing what was happening and continuing to calm down. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
I just want to say that I really appreciate just taking the time to take care of our bodies. Mm. You know, I guess I tend to look at, you know, long meditation sessions with a little bit of trepidation, just anticipating joint pain and physical pain and maybe distraction and stuff. And so it's like, oh, I can get through this, you know? And just, kind of taking that really, different approach to just be gentle and say, oh, you know, it's just been really, really pleasant, you know?
Isn't that a radical notion?
It's very. So with a lot of gratitude, I thank you.
I was surprised in the letting go section that I had so much to let go of, and I had no idea why I was so sad. It was kind of odd to be in such a place without really having thoughts about why I was in that place. And the one thing I noticed physically when we sort of ended it was that, you know, the way I reside in my body, even though I think I'm really quite residing in my body, it can go deeper, because right now I feel like a little bit like the root of where I'm breathing is actually under the ground. And I did feel like I died in that piece, that somehow I was crying over my dead body that sort of never really put it together. I don't know. It does have a bottomless feel. It's scary to go to bottomless places, like, oh my God, will I ever get out of this? But I guess I have.
I'm still here.
I really appreciated you bringing so many different modalities and practices in, because I've been really looking at that a lot lately, how I want to broaden more of what I consider practice, because sitting practice has never been an easy thing for me, and movement takes me deeper into my awareness, and I want to just not think that I'm avoiding practice when I do things that really work for me. Because sometimes I am, but oftentimes I'm just doing things that really work.
So, you know, there's an enormous blessing with having strong traditions. A huge blessing. And certainly, you know, having spent 20 years living in the Ajahn Chah Forest monastery traditions, the blessings, I could spend a really long time enumerating them. And speaking about the way in which I benefited and the way in which the entire collective benefited. So there's a richness in traditions, but there's shadow as well. And the shadow of a tradition is that it seeks to define itself by very familiar benchmarks, and there can be a lot of trepidation or even antipathy towards things that don't remind it of itself. And so I had to keep coming back to, well, for myself, what was my commitment to? Was it to the tradition or was it to awakening? And when I remembered that my commitment was to awakening, then it gave me the courage, because it took enormous courage. I felt scared a long, 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 long time to be going out on so many edges without having people around me to affirm or validate or say, you will continue to belong by practicing in this way. And so I had to trust that even more important than belonging to a particular group or affiliation or tradition was moving out of suffering and integrating that movement into all of my life experience and the world around me. And that somehow I would survive the terror of the uncertainty of the process. Yes, in the back.
I just wanted to say I feel like I today have been a beneficiary of all that courage you had and have. So thank you so much.
So I didn't grow up in Minnesota. I came from California, but I wasn't lacking in uprightness. Uprightness. But you guys have a monopoly on uprightness in a way I have never seen before. You're so good. And the hysterical thing is that we can take anything and turn it into a defilement. Anything can be an obstacle as well as an asset, you know? And so there needs to be balance between being good and trusting flow, between being upright and letting go. Between keeping the tradition with enormous impeccability and trusting innovation and what the community is needing now. And it takes skill to navigate these in a way that doesn't cause chaos. You know? Yes.
So I love loving kindness meditation, and I was hearing your beautiful voice, and so much of the time, especially this afternoon, I was like, so angry. And it was like, I was dancing and drumming and sending, I don't know, gathering and sending energy. I don't even know. And somehow, I can't remember if it was last night or today or whatever, I just felt very much like I could just go with that and not judge it, which typically that's what I would have been doing. And a little bit I was like, I just can't go to, I couldn't go to a soft place much. I don't know. It just feels important to say that because somehow it was a little like feeling separate, but it's just what was happening.
You know, you have every right in the world to feel so angry right now.
I felt connected.
Beautiful.
Too. Mm-hmm. As it was happening. So.
You don't need to make the anger go away. Loving kindness is not about making things go away. It's a way of being with what is. And sometimes being with anger is the highest expression of loving kindness that we can manage. And sometimes it's of critical importance. So thank you for the courage of sharing that.
Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Anybody else?
I think just what you said right now, being in loving kindness in the moment of anger, I just think in a formal practice, you can work through things on your own. And then when you get out into the world and your informal practices, you move through the day and you get triggered. And, you know, given the current environment, we have lots of things that are coming at us, and it's food for a lot of great practice, but it gets us, it gets me caught into situations of people that I love and care for that are coming at me with really hurtful things. And I don't know if you've got any guidance that we could grab onto in the moment or just open up to in the moment just to say, okay, I can be with this and I don't need to shut down.
Well, I think part of it is really honesty. You know, if somebody punches you in the guts or slaps you in the face, it's shocking. And before we're in a position to respond graciously, we need to actually attend to the impact of feeling hurt and betrayed, feeling confused. And the honest thing when that's happening is to just say, I need to pause to process the impact of what just happened. And then let whoever know, I'm not ready yet. Or I need to go speak to somebody that I feel safe with. Or I need to be outside. Or I need to spend a few minutes crying and then I'll get back to you. But I think we do ourselves a disservice when we disallow ourselves the experience because we have an idea of how we are supposed to be. What's going on is huge. And we are impacted by it. Now, we can choose places where we go. Some of them are more skillful than others. And in our choices, we can also bring in resources. Some of them are more skillful than others. So there's this whole movement that's happening right now. And the thing we can do is just be as honest as we can internally and as transparent as is skillful and safe externally about where we're at. I mean, this last month, you know, my system was wigged out. I was in a lot of physical pain and needing to sleep a lot and not sleeping and, you know, couldn't even track what was going on. I didn't understand what was happening. Well, when the re-election came in, I had a little bit better tracking of what was happening. But it took until the day of the election for me to track internally why my system was responding in such a way. So I didn't know. But I did what I knew how to do in order to take care. Does that help? But I think what we need to do is realize, really realize that we're not in this alone. And I mean, this is an awesome community. It's an awesome community. And to get beneath the surface of what's really going on and to see each other and help support each other is one of the ways in which this community can move on the ground that it has already cultivated. What is needed now? How can we, you know, when somebody is dysregulated, how can I hang out with somebody who can just hold the space for me until I can reconnect with those places that I know to reconnect within myself? How can we do that for each other? What is needed now, and how can we show up for each other? I think these are the two mantras. What is needed now, and how can we show up for each other? Really important. There's just absolutely no way any of us can do this on our own. You know, so I go lean into the trees or the rocks or dear friends, you know, who can help hold the space. Sometimes the furry people come, you know. Grab hold of a kitty or a puppy, and just the sweetness of simple contact or hanging out with children or spending time with an elder, you know? It's what is needed? How can we show up for each other?
I feel a certain, often a certain sense of unreality.
I can hear you very well.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, wasn't close enough. I feel a certain sense of unreality. And part of it is just that there are things about the last 6 months that have been really shocking. Things brought into public discourse that you kind of knew were back there, but people didn't speak them. But part of it is that, you know, the turnout in this election was about 50% higher, I think, in Minnesota, but still. So that means half the country didn't think it worthwhile to attempt to stop what's happened. And another quarter were in favor of the coming change. I don't personally know anybody in either of those categories well enough to have a conversation with them, or at all. I mean, I couldn't point to one person of my acquaintance who's in favor of the incoming administration and not frightened. And it just feels weird. I feel like there must be something wrong with me that I'm in this bubble, you know. And it feels not safe to not have connected better with people who clearly don't share my point of view. And I just wondered if you had any thoughts about that.
Well, it sounds to me like there's some real wisdom that's coming through you to say that, you know, the way through this is via connection. And that not having it is actually, you use the word unsafe. And I think that's right. I think the way through is through connection. I think there's different ways that we can connect. And, you know, in your circumstance, to reach out and to be more engaged with people who are in these areas of that you haven't had acquaintances in is one thing.
Yeah, the prospect also terrifies me.
I yes.
mean, to be clear.
Yes. Yes, I get that. I get that. But I think also, you know, I don't know how that experience of pervasive love was for you when we were curled up and doing that. But when I touch that, when I feel that, it is so strong and so clear that there are no boundaries in that, that it gives me a kind of fearlessness to do what needs to be done that's totally independent of my personality structure and beliefs about what I normally think I am capable of doing. Because that I trust as true, that love is pervasive and has no boundaries in it. And then when I'm working with the kind of like, you know, then who do I need? What do I need to help me unpack that, to walk through it so that it feels like I'm also the recipient of that love as I'm engaging in fiercely loving activities.
This talk, like all programs at Common Ground, is offered freely in the spirit of generosity. To learn more about Common Ground and its programs, or if you would like to donate, please visit our website, www.commongroundmeditation.org.